Contrary to popular belief, most guys with man breasts cannot just bench press their way to perfect pecs. They have a medical condition called gynecomastia, and Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can help. A world-renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Lista has perfected the procedure for correcting gynecomastia. Find out more at theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca. Get off the bench and into the game. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca.
If you want old guy sports talk, then you should age a few years and come back. This is Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning. It is 9:02 on this post-Canada Day edition. Vendetta in for Jeff Blair. Well, there's really only a couple of things you want to talk about this morning. The Blue Jays on Fuego yesterday on Canada Day. Justin Smoke, two homers. What a great name, Smoke. Bautista's back with a two-run homer. Mark Burley gets some good run support, huh? Hopefully the same thing happens for Matt Boyd tonight, as the Jays try to split the series against the Red Sox after I jinxed them a few days ago saying they had to win all four. Yankees won last night. Orioles won last night. And Tampa almost got no hit by Carlos King Carrasco. Last batter. Couldn't pull it off. That's Cleveland's luck, right? Cleveland did sign Kevin Love, though, for $1 zillion. Iman Shumpert's making $10 million a year. I don't know if I'm going to complain about Damari Carroll. I think that's a great signing for the Raptors. Look, you got to overpay a little bit. And Damari Carroll may turn out to be one of those great signings in terms of value and what he's going to be able to do for the Raptors. He's tough. And let's look at what he did in the playoffs. Scored at least 20 points in six consecutive games. That's what you want from a small forward, especially a guy that's a defensive specialist. Tough, rim protector. Here's the funniest part. His $60 million deal, I think he made $2.7 million last year. He won the lottery. Absolutely won the lottery. Think about it. $15 million per season. It's a lot different now, even than it was a few years ago. Like, the salary cap in the NBA is going through the roof next year. And it's amazing when you watch guys like Jimmy Butler in Chicago signing that they're taking kind of the short money. I mean, LeBron's just waiting around for Cleveland to spend well into the luxury tax. That's what Dan gets for writing that letter. All right, the phone lines are open. Wide open. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590. Star 590 on your Rogers cell phone. A lot to catch up on as far as NBA free agency, but specifically we'll talk Raptors. They still have some money. Look, they got a mid-level guy, right? I mean, when you look at the money they spent, $15 million a year, it sounds like a lot of money, but in the current NBA landscape for a quality swingman, it's not a lot of money. A lot of flaws on this team, and this is the first step in addressing it. They're in conversation with Wesley Matthews. LaMarcus Aldridge, it's an outside shot. It really is an outside shot, although he's not going to the Lakers. The Lakers love bringing Kobe Bryant into meetings with players. Last night they met with DeAndre Jordan. They're not signing DeAndre Jordan. They're not signing LaMarcus Aldridge. Why? Well, according to LaMarcus Aldridge, he didn't like the basketball part of their presentation, right? They talked about being able to go out in L.A., all the restaurants. And then he looked at their lineup and he went, I ain't coming here. What am I going to do here? Because you're not winning. Until Kobe leaves the Lakers, I don't think anybody's going to sign. I mean, they'll get a consolation prize. That's about as good as it's going to get for them. Look, there's still a lot of players out there. LeBron hasn't signed. He's going to sign in Cleveland. Marc Gasol hasn't signed. He's going to sign in Memphis. Kawhi Leonard agreed to $90 million over five. Look at these numbers. $90 million for five. Kevin Love, $109 million for five. Jimmy Butler, $95 million for five. Goran Dragic in Miami, $90 million for five. Draymond Green, $85 for five. Brooke Lopez got $20 million a year. Paul Millsap got just under $20 million a year. So we'll take your calls later on Damari Carroll. As a Raptor fan, are you happy with the signing? What else do you think they need to address? Look, if they sign Wesley Matthews, they may move DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan and his camp are making noise about a max contract, and he may very well deserve a max contract, but I don't know that he's going to get it in Toronto. Raptors have a lot of decisions to make, and they're in the midst of making them. How about Milos Raonic with 145-mile-per-hour serve? It's the Zdeno Chara slap shot on a tennis court with an extra 38 miles. Something like that. I think Chara hit 105.3. By the way, the second artist, Al the Wild Thing Iafredi. Remember him? Also, some updates on the Mike Richards situation. As we were talking about on Tuesday, a bunch of different reports that he was stopped at the border with oxycodone. Reports everywhere about this. And he met with the NHLPA, from what I understand, to go through what actually happened with the big wheels there. Because this is going to be a long, protracted fight. NHLPA is not letting anybody void a contract. That is not happening. We are going to go to the phone lines here. We want your thoughts on Phil Kessel. On Twitter, at Radio Vendetta. JPO on Twitter. Are you going to defend your buddy Phil for 3 hours? If yes, don't bother sending the link. Am I going to defend my buddy Phil? Let's see. The Leafs just traded one of the top goal scorers in the NHL. He's now going to go to a team that has two elite centers. Yes, you know what? You can question his work ethic. You can question his commitment to playing both ways. You can't question his ability to score. Think about the coaches he's had in Toronto. Ron Wilson. Where does he work now? Uh-huh. Randy Carlyle. Where does he work now? Mm-hmm. Pete Horacek? Yeah. Okay. Listen, we know that Phil is a polarizing figure. He's also a sniper. He's now the Steel Town sniper. I don't like the deal from the standpoint that the Leafs picked up salary. I don't think you should have picked up salary for this guy. Not at all. I don't like the fact that you don't have, look, the prospects as far as the deal goes, Kasperi Kapanen was ranked pretty high in the 2014 draft. He's probably the third best prospect on the Leafs now. He can fly. He's got a lot of skill. You know, Harrington on D, another London Knight, right? That's the Mark Hunter show. I'm going to bring in every guy I ever drafted, ever played for me with the London Knights. Now, I'll give him credit that he knows these guys and he knows what they can be. He played 4 seasons in the OHL for London. Assistant captain for Canada in his second World Junior. But kind of tapered off, right? Tapered off as far as his play in the AHL. But again, that's why they have this thing called player development. Look, here's what the Leafs are doing here. Look at all the one-year deals they signed. Look at the one-year deals. It's a one-year deal fest. Arcabello, Parento, however you want to call him. It was a one-year deal fest. other than, well, they brought back Winnick and Hunwick on a two-year deal. These guys are all placeholders. That's what this is. They're all placeholders for the plan going forward. Now they got a bunch of young defensemen, Marinson, the kid they picked up from Edmonton, you know, Victor Louvre, Nilsson, Stuart Percy. Of course, they've got a young guy named Morgan Riley that's going to be pretty good. Already is. Does Jake Gardner finally become the defenseman many people think he can? But, you know, again, looking at the deals the Leafs sign, it was a one-year deal fest yesterday, right? Richard Ponick signs for a deal. Like I said, Mark Arcabello, Matt Hunwick, two-year deal. All I know is that, you know, Winnick signed a one-year deal for $2.25 million. All I know is that things are going to be less interesting, and that's probably what they want right now. They have a plan, right? Like, that's the good thing about this, is now the plan, even though they haven't laid it out, and I don't blame them, they are acquiring as many young assets as possible. That's what they are doing right now. And by picking up some of these guys, we're going to go to Sean in Hamilton and take a call here in a second, but picking up Dan Winnick. Okay, Dan Winnick, they'll trade him at the trade deadline. Arcabello, if he has a good season, they'll trade him at the trade deadline. Richard Ponick, they'll probably keep. Parento, if they can get him to 20 goals, they'll trade him at the trade deadline. Nick Spaulding, he's a schlub. He's going to play on the third line. $2.2 million cap hit. Where's he going? He had 27 points. Sean in Hamilton. Your thoughts on Phil Kessel? The Kessel era has drawn to a close in Toronto. What do you think of the trade? Do you think the Leafs got the better of the trade, or was it just a salary dump and get rid of a guy that many people thought was bad in the room and attitudinally didn't fit in with the new Maple Leafs?
It was just a dump to get rid of the body and change the culture, if you want to put it in that term. This is the end of the debacle of the Brian Burke era. Basically, it was his choice to go out and get Kessel and get rid of the first round draft picks, and it never worked out. Kessel, yeah, he was a good goal scorer. That's all he was. He's a one trick pony, and that's all he did. He could care less about winning. He could care less about showing up in shape. It didn't matter who the coach was. He doesn't care. He's not a winner. He's just a goal scorer. That's all he cares about, is going out and getting his goals and getting his money. And that's all he cares about.
Well, I don't think that's all he cares about. I think he cares about winning, and I think that it's going to be proven when he goes to Pittsburgh. Now there are no excuses left. He's going to Pittsburgh, and thanks for your call, Sean. He's going to Pittsburgh on a team where there are two first-line centers there, and Sidney Crosby is salivating right now, salivating to play with this guy. Because if you look at who Sidney Crosby played with, I mean, with all due respect to Chris Kunitz and Hornqvist and Pascal Dupuis, like Dupuis, really? Compared to the guy who is a top five goal scorer in the last 5 years, Phil Kessel will probably score between 40 and 50 goals next year if he stays healthy. Because here's what's going to happen. He's going to leave Toronto and the gong show that it is, media-wise, and he's going to go to Pittsburgh. There's nowhere near the media in Pittsburgh. I'm not making an excuse, and I'm not defending him. This is just what's going to happen, whether you like Phil Kessel or not. And what's going to happen is he's going to go to Pittsburgh, and the spotlight is off. He's not the biggest star on the team anymore. He's got bigger. Chris Letang's bigger than him in Pittsburgh. Geno Malkin, way bigger than him in Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby, one of the biggest stars in the league, if not the biggest. Spotlight off. Word is, he's working out this offseason. He's training. Look, all I am saying is, generally speaking, the team that gets the best player, and this is just an adage in sports, the team that gets the best player wins the trade. You've heard that before. Before we take our next call, here's Brendan Shanahan. Now, Shanahan said a bunch of stuff yesterday, but here he talks about Phil Kessel and the Pittsburgh Penguins, why they were interested in Phil Kessel. They were interested in Phil Kessel for obvious reasons.
Phil is certainly a very talented player, and but we knew that changes had to come. I thank him for his 6 years here, very productive years for him, and that's why a guy like Jim Rutherford with a team that is poised to take a run at the Stanley Cup had such interest in him.
What did Brendan Shanahan really say there? Did you hear what he said? Very productive years for him. Oh. Is that a shot at Phil Kessel or what? Very productive years for him. Basically, hey, Phil scored a lot of goals here. We really didn't win anything. And I'm glad I found someone to take him. That's what that sounded like to me. Didn't it sound like that to you? The reason I say that is he's not a Babcock kind of player. The skilled players in Detroit, Datsyuk and Zetterberg, are the two hardest working guys on the team. Kessel, as many of you think, is not a hardworking player. Does it mostly on talent and natural ability. Arguably the best shot in the NHL. Arguably. A couple other guys got pretty good shots too. But Phil's got an incredible release. If you look at the whip on his stick, it's like an elastic band. Not a lot of guys can use a stick with that kind of flex. But Brendan Shanahan just basically said, yeah, Phil had some good years for him. And here's what I will say about Phil. I will say this. Phil Kessel has never played with a first-line center on the Toronto Maple Leafs, a real first-line center, with all due respect to Tyler Bozak. Tyler Bozak is a very good hockey player, best face-off guy on the team, second-line center at best. At best. Now he's going to play with Sidney Crosby or Malkin. Probably Crosby, because this is Sidney Crosby. Rutherford said, hey, Sid, we can get Phil Kessel. Sid said, I'll go to the airport and get him. Or maybe you want me to drive to Toronto and pick him up. Or Florida, wherever he may be. Phil Kessel against the Boston Bruins in the playoff series a few years ago, that the Leafs had that epic collapse with about 11 minutes left in the third period it began. That wasn't Phil Kessel's fault. Phil Kessel played great in that series. He wasn't afraid. He went up against his old team. He had points. He had goals that mattered. So when people sit here and say, oh, Phil Kessel didn't score any goals that mattered. Really? You should check your stats because you don't know what you're talking about. Check that series in the playoffs. The only playoff series he played in. He was there. He showed up. Wasn't his fault Randy Carlyle didn't call a timeout. Wasn't his fault that Randy Carlyle had Grabowski and Kuhlman on the ice way more than he had his skill players on the ice. I would have put Phil Kessel on the ice. You know why? Because he was my best player. Pretty simple. It's 9:21. Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair. We're going to go to Todd in Mississauga. Todd, the Phil Kessel era is finished. It's over in Toronto. You don't have Phil to kick around anymore. What do you make of the trade?
I think it's a fantastic trade. And the reason being is because I'm a Penguins fan. I grew up watching Merrill Lemieux, so I hung on with the Penguins. Penguins got rid of a couple of young kids to a team that's looking to develop, looking for young kids. They received, like you said, a 30-40 goal scorer with no help whatsoever. And they're going to put him on a team that's got two of probably the top maybe 10 players in the NHL. He's going to shine on the power play. He's going to do really well in the power play. And everybody started talking about him being a suck and him being media and this and that. You know what? All due respect, the job for you guys in media, you're doing your job. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to ask questions when guys are struggling. You're supposed to ask these questions. He got frustrated. That's like a sales guy going in to try and make a sales pitch. And the owner's frustrated. He's got no time for this. But He'll tell you to go wherever, but he's probably one of the nicest guys. I think Phil Kessel is going to go to Pittsburgh. A couple callers ago was talking about Patrick Kane. And then I think Dean Blundell said, well, Patrick Kane's changed his game. Well, of course he has. He's got Jonathan Tay, is probably the best captain in hockey. And he's got one of the best coaches in hockey. And they sat him down. They had a good talk with him, I would like to think, and explain things. And I think that's what's going to happen in Pittsburgh. Phil Kessel's going to go there. He's not going to be the number one guy to blame on. He's got other guys around him. He's got a good supporting cast. He's probably going to be one of the top, probably four or five players on that team when you think of Letang and maybe even Olli Maatta if he comes back and plays really well, and Malkin and Crosby. It's not going to be, oh, it's Phil's fault. I think this was a good trade, and I think it was a good trade for Toronto. They got three young kids. They're hoping that's going to develop into something. They got a draft pick where they're hoping they can pick something as well as that.
Yeah, and they gave back the second that they got from Pittsburgh in the Winnick deal, which I, again, don't like. But I guess when you telegraph it out there that you want to make a deal and you want to get rid of Phil Kessel, that this is about as good as you're going to do. Thank you very much for your call. And again, the phone lines are open. The Phil Kessel era in Toronto is over. What do you make of the trade? How do you think the Leafs did? And what are your thoughts on Phil's time in Toronto? Listen, it wasn't all bad, right? It's just that we have this ability to have revisionist history. But I'll use a guy, and I won't compare him from the standpoint that he was anywhere near as important to the city as Matt Sundin. Matt Sundin is much more important in the history of the Maple Leafs than Phil Kessel will be in the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Matt Sundin got ripped by Leaf fans. Didn't try, didn't show up. Was he giving all? No. We want more from him. Sounds familiar to me. Just does. Not comparing the player. Not comparing where they fit in the pantheon of Leaf history. But we've heard that story, haven't we? John G. on Twitter. What is it with the GM taking a dump on players they just traded lately? Show some damn class. Yeah, I guess it's the clip we just played of Shanahan talking about the Pens being interested in Kessel. I'm going to play it again here right now. Have a listen to this. This is Brendan Shanahan talking about why the Pittsburgh Penguins were interested in acquiring Phil Kessel.
Phil is certainly a very talented player, and but we knew that changes had to come. I thank him for his 6 years here, very productive years for him, and that's why a guy like Jim Rutherford with a team that is poised to take a run at the Stanley Cup had such interest in him.
Nathan in Thornhill, you're next. Your thoughts on Phil Kessel and the trade with Pittsburgh?
Well, I'm disappointed. Hi. Great show. I'm disappointed with the trade. I think they should have gotten better prospects. He had to go. But I think if they held out a little bit more, they would have gotten it. Crosby evidently wanted, a star on the right side to play with him. And as far as going forward, I think Leafs will do no worse than second in the lottery draft next year.
I would hope so. Thanks for the call. You got a horrible phone line, so we appreciate the call. Sounds like you're in a wind tunnel on the 407 being chased by the authorities. That's neither here nor there. Kasperi Kapanen. Kasperi the Friendly Ghost is new nickname. So a guy that was pretty highly ranked in 2014, I believe, plays physical. Back checks. Hey, Leaf fans, he back checks. So, Kaspinen, Harrington, like I said, Spalling's a throw-in. Tyler Biggs going the other way. Tim Erickson going the other way. Tim Erickson, high draft pick, played for the Rangers, played for Calgary. Not going to amount to much, I don't think. Although, with the Leafs' luck, he will. Right? He'll go to Pittsburgh and pan out. Play 27 minutes a night. Harrington, guy that Mark Hunter knows well. Pretty good hockey IQ and on-ice awareness. Good skater. Wins battles in the corner. Good vision. Good first passes. If he pans out to be a stay-at-home, smart defenseman making that first pass out of the zone, can play 15, 20 minutes a game, then I won't say it's still a win for the Leafs, right? The only way this is a win, other than You got rid of a guy that you wanted to get rid of? Because that's what this is. You get rid of a guy that you wanted to get rid of. We'll take one more call here. It's 927. It's Vendetta in for Blair. Blue Jays and Red Sox tonight. Matt Boyd on the mound. Hopefully he can be the beneficiary of some runs. Yesterday was just a smash fest. If you were at the Rogers Center, how pumped were you yesterday? 11-2 over the Red Sox? Only bad news is the Yankees and the Orioles both won. Tampa almost got no hit by Cleveland, but with Cleveland's luck, the last batter, of course, gets a hit, and Carrasco loses the no-hitter. We're going to take one more caller. We'll take your calls this morning. We'll do this again in the probably in the 11 o'clock hour, maybe the 10 o'clock hour, but we want more of your thoughts on the Phil Kessel trade, the Phil Kessel legacy, dare I use that word. And, of course, on Twitter, at Radio Vendetta. We've got time for one more caller here before we take a break. Adriano in Toronto. How are you this morning, Adriano?
Joey, top of the morning to you. How are you?
I'm well. Are you hungover from Canada today? What did you do yesterday?
No, unfortunately, married life doesn't allow that. Myself, my wife, and my dog just took a beautiful trip up north and enjoyed the weather up north of the city here.
Good for you. Everybody needs to get away. Now, Adriano, Phil Kessel, gone, no longer a Leaf, and the Kessel era is over. So your thoughts on Phil Kessel and the trade?
Mixed opinions, but I'm glad you brought up the Shanahan post-conference there, because I must have watched it half a dozen times, and I did not pick up the fact that he said productive years for him, not for the team, not for the organization, for him. And that, absolutely, I agree with you 100%. That's an indirect knock saying, see ya, good riddance, thanks for nothing type thing. And I guess the fact that they were able to get rid of him, you know, retaining, what, 1.2 over 7 years isn't, by Leaf standards or MLSC standards, that's probably a drop in the bucket. But, I mean, good for them, because his ethic was gone. I was talking to your producer, and I brought up the fact in the parallel to Alex Ovechkin. And when he was under Goudreau, Oates, I forget the third one, but when he was before Barry
Hunter,
Trotz,
it was a Hunter. Hunter.
Dale Hunter, that's right.
So Dale Hunter, Trotz, yeah.
Dale Hunter, yeah. So before he came along, he was, I guess, he fit the same profile. He didn't back check. He was a one-way player. He did one thing, waited at the top of the slot, and rang it off the crossbar or rang it wherever he can because of that release that he's got. And now look at the player. Now, I think at this point now, the Leafs are not willing to wait for an Alex Ovechkin to pop out of his shell under Babcock. But at the same time, as a Leaf fan, I see it as, well, what the heck's going on in Toronto if everybody's, you know, begging and taking off and saying they don't fit the mold that Toronto has? Well, I guess under the Brian Burke era and post-Nonis era, we didn't know what that was. And I guess the demise of Burke is now coming to an end, and Babcock's vision is going to become very clear. Kessel is not Babcock's type of player. You need exactly what you guys were talking about before, your typical Zetterbergs and Datsuks that play the whole length of the ice and work hard. And that's what I think we're going to be looking forward to. Now, these draft picks that they come that come and may or may not develop into something, you know what? At the end of the day, I would take those five people, whoever they may become, or three and two, over Phil Kessel at this point in the career, in his career, because I don't think it's a very valid thing to try to go and mold this kid into something he might not be.
Phil Kessel, look, Adriano, look, and I'm going to cut you off because we've got to take a break here. Thank you for your call. Phil Kessel is a goal scorer. He's not a back checker. He needs a great center to play with. He's going to have that chance in Pittsburgh now. So the debate on whether Phil has a good center or not is now over. He has two great centers, two of the best centers in the National Hockey League. And look, we know Malkin's flip-flops on the wing sometimes on the power play, and he has played with Crosby, but he's playing center. Phil may, who knows, they may double shift Phil. He's going to have to come to camp in great shape, which I think he's going to do. He has a lot to prove, and he has a lot of pride, and he delivered a lot of excitement in Toronto. It didn't work out, and now the Leafs picked up a couple of kids in Harrington and Kaspinen that better pan out, or they lost the trade. That simple. We're going to take a break, come back. And a team that won yesterday in free agency, right here in Toronto, picking up a swingman. They paid a little much for him, but in the pantheon and the scale that is going on in the NBA right now, as far as dollars being thrown around, they may have gotten a deal. We'll return on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in a moment.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Toronto Raptors GM Masai Ujiri has some very kind words for Joey.
Joey, you're the best, man.
He must be doing something right. You're listening to Joey Vandetta on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
20 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, this post-Canada Day edition. Jays smacked the Red Sox yesterday, 11-2. Tonight, more of the same. In fact, right now, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Jays and the Red Sox tonight. Call us at 416-870-0590, 666-0590 in the 888, and *590 on your Rogers cell phone. Wade Miley, 7-7 on the mound against Matt Boyd. Pretty good first outing, even though his ERA is over 5. He painted the corners pretty well. Threw some heat. And didn't get any run support. I think he lost 4-0 in his debut, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, first pitch shortly after 7 o'clock with Cherry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and Mike Wilner. You can watch it on Sportsnet Ontario pregame, Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn. And then after, Mike Wilner takes your calls on Blue Jays Talk. Eric Smith joins us right now at @Eric_Smith on Twitter. And we'll take some calls later, again, on Phil Kessel, what you thought of the trade. Now, Eric, I know your primary function here is in the NBA and the Toronto Raptors and basketball, but you saw the Phil Kessel gong show that was in Toronto, especially in the last year. The last season was just a complete gong show, and the Leafs have put an end to that by trading Phil Kessel. No more Phil Kessel doesn't talk to the media. No more Phil Kessel comments. No more Phil Kessel doesn't back check. As someone who has seen and heard, what do you think of the trade, and what are your thoughts on Phil?
I didn't think I'd be coming for Phil stuff, but I'll tell you, my instant reaction when I heard it yesterday, Joey, was I was a little bit surprised that the Leafs weren't able to get a little more for him, but that maybe says something about the landscape of the NHL in terms of what the going rate is for Phil Kessel, because I can't imagine that Brendan Shanahan or Kyle Dubas and the rest of the brain trust and front office at the Toronto Maple Leafs didn't knock on every door and kick every tire around the league before ultimately making a move. So if that's the package, that's the going rate, then you get what you can. Because I think, and I'm not even a Leaf fan. I grew up in an area a little closer to Buffalo and grew up more of a Sabres fan as a kid. But obviously the understanding in this market as a sports fan, let alone a member of the sports media, we all know the importance of the Toronto Maple Leafs and how it drives a lot of what we do, let alone what a lot of fans want to watch and listen to. So the Leafs are important. I want to see the Leafs do well just from a human standpoint for so many people out there that have been, you know, suffering and struggling for, you know, since 1967, if not longer. But I think you want more from your captain. You want him to do more and be more. And I think, if ultimately, and I know, you know, Phil wasn't necessarily wearing that C, but I think he was the captain, the leader of that team based on being the best player, the lead dog, the man that made the most money. And I think you need a guy in that leadership role to do more. And if he wasn't going to do it for you, then it's time to move on.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't the captain. He definitely didn't want to be the captain. Now he's going to a city where he's got two number one centers, and he doesn't have to be the captain, and there will be no spotlight. So
yeah,
we'll see how that translates.
He's going to love life now.
Speaking of leaving town, something that kind of slipped under the radar. I mean, not in a huge way a news item, but Amir is gone. Your thoughts going to Boston?
You know, I think Doug Smith wrote it well today. I don't know if you read his piece in the Star, but I would echo his sentiments. And I would think, Joey, you've gotten to know him a little bit over the years, I think, as well. And most people probably agree with this sentiment. Great guy. Fantastic person in terms of just dealing with him as a man, one-on-one. Did a heck of a lot for the city in 6 years. I think the way that he embraced the city, the country, the culture, everything about Toronto, everything about Canada, was probably unlike any other player who's come through the Raptors organization. I've got nothing bad to say about him and the way that he left it on the floor, his ankles, his knees, everything. I mean, watching this man walk after you know, games was difficult even just to see. After game 52 of the season, when he could barely move with those knees and ankles and everything else. And to that point, as much as I respect him as a player and for all that he did and leaving it on the floor and respect him as a man, I think at this point of his career, Joey, I was surprised to see that he got $12 million per year, even in this landscape, this crazy financial landscape that has hit the NBA. And I think for the Raptors, it was probably a smarter decision that if that's going to be the going rate for him and if that's the money that's available, then you know what? We respect you enough to say, go on, make that money somewhere else, because I don't think the Raptors were in a position to be able to or maybe even want to pay him that amount of money.
No, they didn't. They definitely don't want to play him. Look, I think the Celtics with Brad Stevens as coach has done a great job and making the playoffs last year. Big surprise after they picked up Isaiah. Marcus Smart has done a great job there. And they got a bunch of young players and have amassed a ton of draft picks. And I think bringing in a guy like Amir strictly, is he going to play 48 minutes a night? Probably not. He's not going to be able to do that. But as a mentor for a guy like Kelly Olynyk and how you do it the right way as a pro, I mean, look, anybody that does a zombie walk with fans is okay with me. So it's, Amir Johnson, a guy that in the wake of the Phil Kessel story, not getting really any press whatsoever other than the Doug Smith article. I'm sure there's been a couple other ones, but a solid citizen, a guy that I don't know that he's going to be missed from the standpoint that, he's going to be missed on the court, but missed off the court as being a guy that was a great Toronto Raptor as far as representing the team. Let's turn our attention to the newest Toronto Raptor. It's not official until July the 9th, but look, Damari Carroll. And Damari Carroll really came into his own last year, but Damari Carroll has a history with Masai Ujiri in Denver. It was a brief history. It was a four-game history, but Masai gave him his opportunity. And as you said, the NBA landscape financially is mind-boggling right now. The numbers that guys are signing for, it's market rate. It's the going rate. Here's what's going on right now. And when you look at the way the money is being thrown around, could you have anticipated this? And how does the Damari Carroll signing fit in? There's some folks that are saying that the Raptors paid too much, but I don't think they really had much of a choice, considering the guy had 6 20-point games in a row for the Atlanta Hawks. Considering, look, he was the only guy that didn't make the All-Star team in their starting five, but he was arguably their best player in the playoffs.
Well, and he's certainly their best defender on a heck of a defensive team, on the number one team in the East. He was their best defender. He's one of the best defenders in the league at the wing position, and that's the most glaring weakness that the Raptors have had, not only in recent years, but I think, you could look back for franchise history. When's the last time they had a legit defensive stopper at the wing position, a guy that you could say you're going up against the best player on the opposing team every single night, and you're giving us a chance to win a game or stay in a game because of your defense on said player? I think from that standpoint, it's a good signing for the Raptors. They fill a serious void and a need with one of the best players available in free agency in that position, in that role. Did they overpay a little bit? Yeah, they probably did a little bit. But as we just talked about, in today's landscape, in today's NBA, with the way that the salaries are going, it's probably going to look, I don't know if I can say a bargain, but it's going to look like a normal contract within a couple of years. For those that haven't read the details, I mean, I'm sure rabid NBA fans know this already, but next year, the salary cap is supposed to be going up in the neighborhood of $90+ million, and within 2 years, it's going to be over $105 million. So it's not going to be a bad contract to be paying a guy like Damari Carroll. That, think about the fact, even, Joey, that last year Kyle Lowry signed 4 years, $48 million. That's basically $20 per. Amir Johnson just got the same money that Kyle Lowry is getting paid. The money that guys have signed now last year, let alone this year, is going to be a relative bargain when you're going forward looking at $100+ million in a cap in 2 years.
No, and speaking of the money, look, Damari Carroll is a calculated, I won't even say a risk. It's a calculated signing because we do know that he can play D. He's a rim protector and a swingman that the Raptors needed him. I think he instantly makes the Raptors a lot better because he can play pretty much full minutes. And as you said, he was the best defensive player on a fantastic defensive team in Atlanta. And the LaMarcus Aldridge thing is an outside shot at best, right? Aldridge met with the Lakers and walked out completely unimpressed. The Lakers, it's amazing, right? The marquee franchise of the NBA, and they keep making the same mistake over and over. They keep bringing Kobe Bryant to the meeting. Kobe Bryant coming to the meeting, everybody's like, man, if Kobe Bryant comes to the meeting, we'll get this guy. It seems to be having the opposite effect. They met late last night with DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers, thinking that they could get him to switch locker rooms at the Staples Center, and he walked out of the meeting completely unimpressed as well. So, look, it looks like the Raptors still have an outside shot at LaMarcus. I think they were supposed to meet with him yesterday, and there's word that they're pursuing Wes Matthews. I don't know how realistic that is, but if they do get Wes Matthews somehow, then it signals, I would imagine it signals something to DeMar. I just don't know that they're going to get Wes Matthews. Are you hearing anything on the Wesley front?
There's definitely interest still there. I haven't heard anything in terms of anything being close with Wes Matthews with Toronto or any other team. I think Dallas is going to be an interesting team to watch as far as Wesley Matthews is concerned, because they have yet to make a big splash, and Dallas has a ton of money to spend, $25+ million right now, and they haven't yet made a splash, and they just lost Tyson Chandler. So there's going to be news coming, I'm sure, from the Dallas Mavericks as they continue to shore things up. And I'll give you kind of an all-encompassing answer for the Raptors as far as whether it's LaMarcus Aldridge or Wesley Matthews or anybody else, really. The interesting thing will be now, after the money that is being reportedly committed to Damari Carroll, the Raptors have taken a big chunk of what they had available. Yeah. So in order to make another move, whether it be on LaMarcus Aldridge, whether it be on on Wesley Matthews, or anybody else for that matter, they're going to have to make other moves to free up more money. As it stands right now, I think the Raptors have in the neighborhood of about $9 million roughly in that area. And yeah, even if they were to give it all to, let's just hypothetically say, give it all to Wesley Matthews and he takes a contract at $9 million, which I can't imagine he would given the money that's been thrown around.
He ain't taking $9 million. Right. He's taking $9 million for like a quarter of the season.
Joey, you still need to go out and sign probably a backup point guard. You still need to shore up your depth on your bench. There are guys that need to be brought in to shore up the rest of the roster overall. So there's a lot of moves to be made, and that's why my gut tells me Toronto is going to be very active. I can't say there's going to be something coming down today, but in the coming days and as we unfold over the course of the summer, there's other moves coming, whether it's, you know, 2-3 players being traded, whether it be a big-time, you know, multiplayer deal going down with another club. Something's going to have to happen to free up the finances, but then also to shore up the depth of this team overall. The Raptors aren't done with Damari Carroll. There's a lot of holes that still need to be filled. And with Amir Johnson going to Boston, whether he was in your plans or not to be brought back, you still need a power forward on this team. Unless you plan on going completely small and playing Damari Carroll at 4, which I don't foresee, you still need a starting power forward. And even if you elevated Patrick Patterson into the starting lineup, you basically need a bench. You don't have Vasquez anymore. You haven't re-signed Lou Williams, and you may not. Who's going to fill that power forward backup role, if not starter's role? So there's a lot of moves still to be made by Masai Ujiri. I think the Raptors are going to be very active.
And DeLon Wright is actually going to be on the show in the 11 o'clock hour. Hopefully we can wake him up. He's on the West Coast. So it'll be interesting to see how he fits in as well this season with the Raptors. So a bunch of moves still to come, possibly. And again, as you said, Eric, not a lot of money to spend. And if you are going to go out and get some more players, you're going to have to free up some money. Thanks a lot for doing this, pal. Greatly appreciated.
All right, Joey. Thanks.
That is Eric Smith at Eric_Smith on Twitter. It is Joey Vendetta here for Jeff Blair at Radio Vendetta on Twitter. The Toronto Blue Jays smacking the Red Sox yesterday, 11-2. Matt Boyd on the mound tonight for his second career start. NHL free agency. A ton of guys getting signed yesterday. What about Brad Richards and Mike Green going to Detroit? Good signings. I mean, Brad played great in the playoffs. Now, mind you, he was in Chicago where he could be hidden to a certain degree, but, you know, that Red Wing culture, it didn't change just because Mike Babcock left. That's way bigger than Mike Babcock. Sorry to break the news to you. NBA free agency, a ton of guys signing. We'll go through that and some more details on Mike Richards, the border, and Canada Customs. Well, the Border Patrol anyway. No charges, but this is going to be interesting to see. The LA Kings basically dismissed him with cause. We're going to return. We're going to talk to Mike Wilner about the Blue Jays. And as well, we want more of your calls on the Phil Kessel trade. Who won the trade? 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. We'll be back in a moment.